Welcome to the EU for Youth to Act on Air, the podcast that brings young people closer to the heart of European democracy. Today's episode explores the Common Agricultural Policy, one of the EU's most important and debated areas, from food security to environmental sustainability and the future of rural life. Leading the conversation is Francesco Ciavone, the European Youth Parliament Italy, speaking with MEP Camilla Loretti, a member of the European Parliament's Committee on Agriculture and Rural Development. This episode is presented with English voiceover translation. You can find the original Italian version on the FTS YouTube channel. Let's begin.
And welcome to EU for Youth to Act on Air. I'm Francesco Schiavone, and today we'll be talking about agriculture, sustainability, and the future of Europe with a member of the European Parliament, Camilla Loretti. This podcast is a part of a series designed to foster dialogue between young people and European institutions. Camilla Loretti is a member of the European Parliament for Italy's Democratic Party and part of the Socialist and Democrats group. A trained journalist, she has a long background in cultural and institutional communication before stepping into politics in Brussels. Today, she serves on the Committee on Agriculture and Rural Development, where she focuses on sustainability, the green transition, and farmers' rights. Welcome, Deputy Loretti. Thank you for joining us today. I'd like to start with a more personal question. Your political career and your commitment to agriculture and sustainability have always been closely linked. How did this journey begin, and what inspired you to focus on these challenges at the European level? First of all, good morning and thank you. I really believe it's important to have these conversations and to bring Europe closer to people. Because today, the biggest challenges we face can be lost or won in Europe. And we need a Europe that is more united, stronger, and more socially conscious. That's where real problems are and where real solutions happen. Take the ecological transition, for example. How can we approach this only as individual countries or regions? The air we breathe is the same for all of us. So if we want real progress, the policies need to be European. I come from a relatively small region, Umbria, known as the Green Heart of Italy. It's a place where sustainability and quality of life have always been central values in people's everyday lives. Of course, there have been policies that worked and some that didn't, but the underlying values, the land, the landscape, the respect for nature, the social side of sustainability have always been strong. Just think, it's the land of Saint Francis of Assisi, the land of Saint Benedict, the patron saint of Europe, and the land of the Perugia-Assisi Peace March founded by Aldo Capitini. These are the values I grew up with, and today I find them reflected in Europe too. A beautiful introduction, thank you. I think now we can move into the heart of the discussion and start looking at some of the more technical questions. Let's begin with the Common Agricultural Policy, the CAP, which has been long one of the pillars of the European Union. in recent years, however, it had to adapt to new priorities, new criteria, and new pressures. So I'd like to ask, how do you view the current direction of European agricultural policy? Is it enough to support the needs of Italian and European farmers? And how can we use the CAP as a tool to promote sustainability, innovation, and greater equality across territories? Just this morning, I took a class because I believe that to do politics, you have to keep learning every day. It was with an agricultural economist, and we talked about the history of the common agricultural policy and all its various forms. The CAP is one of the main European programs, right? It accounts for a third of the European budget, around 300 billion euros. And when it was created more than 6 years ago, it had a very clear goal to ensure that European citizens had equal access to food at a fair price. Of course, another core objective was to guarantee farmers a decent income, because in addition to working in the primary sector and producing the food that we eat every day, farmers also take care of a common good, our landscape, our environment, our land, which is an absolute value in our country. During this morning class, we discussed how even today the CAP still hasn't fully achieved some of these objectives. When it comes to food safety and production, yes, we have made progress, and the data shows it. Europe and Italy in particular are major exporters in the agri-food sector. We export many of our specialty products, those with DOP and IGP certifications that are deeply tied to our territories and our biodiversity. But do you know what goal we still haven't reached? Farmers' income. I meet farmers all over Italy, from the north to the center to the south, and they are all united by the same concern. They tell me, we pay in euros, but we earn in cents. The farmer doesn't get to set the price of their own product. That's why we need to work harder through the CAP, especially on the aspect of income support. Because farmers are, in fact, providing a service to the common good. And it's unacceptable that the majority of the CIP funds still go to the largest agricultural businesses. In Italy, most farms are small, on average about 10 hectares. So it's not right that the funding doesn't go to those working in internal and rural areas. Not all agriculture is the same. Those who farm in more remote rural areas are providing an even greater service. They are helping prevent hydrogeological risk, maintaining and protecting parts of the territory, and preventing depopulation. That's a real risk for many of our internal regions, and they need support. Another key point that must be central in the next CAP, starting from 2028 to 2034, is the environment. Agriculture and the environment should not be seen as opposing forces. Agriculture can't survive without the environment, and the environment cannot move forward without sustainable agriculture. They have to walk hand in hand. And for every change, every transformation we introduce, the CAP must be there to support that change with proper funding. I believe that's the only way we can truly change the things we haven't managed to change in the last 6 years and finally achieve the goals that we set out for ourselves from the beginning. Thank you. With this response, you have actually answered the question I was about to ask, so we can move on. I will make a confession. I wrote this interview with the help of an AI language model. It was a deliberate choice, an experiment, really, to see how far we can go with this kind of technology. It's no coincidence that over the past year I have been working on building a computer vision model to count grape bunches in the field. The goal is to then use the data to create another model that can predict the yield of a vineyard months in advance, far earlier than current technologies allow. Machine learning-based technologies like these will soon become widespread in agriculture. They will offer practical tools to farms and companies of all sizes. So, in your opinion, how can Europe govern this digital revolution? What are the opportunities, but also the political and regulatory responsibilities that come with using artificial intelligence in the primary sector? A few days ago, I was on a farm in the south of our country in Basilicata. They grow strawberries there and have a surprisingly advanced system. Innovation and technology are really embedded in what they do. It made me think of the tomato farms using hydroponic systems and of that group of startups working together to bring innovation, research and tech into agriculture. But as I said before, it's crucial that innovation and technology reach all farms, not just a few. That's the first point, because if innovation is only for some, then it's not really innovation. If technology doesn't reach everyone, then it's not true progress. Back to Basilicata. The strawberry growers there use sensors to detect early signs of pests or diseases. That means they can take action only when necessary, reducing the use of plant protection products and pesticides. With a weather station, they know when it's going to rain, so they don't irrigate unnecessarily. This saves water, and that kind of precision is incredibly important in agriculture today. Because we need innovation. It's helping us become more environmentally friendly. It helps mitigate climate change. And it helps us use less of that increasingly scarce resource, water. Agriculture consumes a lot of it, so being efficient is essential. But two things are critical. First, people must remain at the center. We can't let innovation invade people's lives unchecked. Technology must serve us, not the other way around. And that's something we in Europe work hard to regulate. Second, we have to make sure that technological innovation truly reaches every farm, and this is what I said before. That's where tools like the Common Agricultural Policy can help, with funding that ensures farmers everywhere, men and women alike, can access these technologies. If we don't achieve that, we haven't really met our goal. We are also working on creating a common European space for agricultural data, which I believe is key. Data is the cornerstone that allows us to build innovation that's truly centered on people, always supporting them, never working against them. Thank you. We have seen how the green transition and the Green Deal are central priorities for Europe, but they are not the only ones right now. After Trump's election in the US and the shift in America's strategic agenda towards Europe and Ukraine, the new rearmament plans seems to be taking up much of the European Commission's energy. Balancing two major and at times conflicting priorities like ecological transition and defense feels extremely challenging. So, is there a risk that media and political attention on the Green Deal might be overshadowed by defense? And how we can ensure a long-term strategic vision in a Europe facing increasing pressure? We have to hold everything together, really. We must hold everything together because when you stop and think about it, it's all connected. Why do wars start? Often it's because of famine, drought, food insecurity, because people can't live well where they are. Unlivable climates, pollution, environmental degradations. These are geopolitical triggers. So yes, we must keep both priorities on the table. And the key to doing that, as I said at the start of our conversation, is Europe, a stronger, more united Europe. That's why when we talk about defense, we are talking about a European defense strategy. We are not talking about rearming individual nation states. Doing that would risk returning to the same national rivalries that led to the First and Second World Wars. Pope Francis recently described this moment in history as a Third World War in pieces. He urged us to begin disarming, starting with our words. I think that's worth remembering right now. We need to take on these challenges together. We need to address them in Europe. Europe is where we can move forward on the Green Deal and defense. Yes, we are talking about Trump now and what he's rolling back. When Biden was in office, we had the Inflation Reduction Act, so billions and billions of dollars invested in renewable energy for businesses, for firms to make sure that they produce sustainable energy and they don't go into the direction of pollution. So now Trump is undoing much of that. Oggi Trump sta cancellando tutto. Beh, io credo che l'Europa. So what should Europe do? Continue leading by example. Stay on course. Don't take steps backwards. Don't pause, because pausing now would mean falling far behind. Just look at China, India, other countries and continents that started investing earlier and are now ahead of us. Take electric vehicles, for instance. We simply cannot afford to stop right now. I believe we can build a better future, but with few important caveats. First, defense spending must go only to truly European initiatives. We don't want to rearm national states. We want to build a shared European defense. Second, we must not pull funds away from other essential programs to pay for defense, not from cohesion policy, not from ecological transition. That would be a mistake. Instead, let's think big, a new investment plan, perhaps based on common European debt, just as we did with the next generation EU recovery plan after COVID. So 800 billion euros a year invested in energy, environment, social policies, decent work, and yes, even defense. But let's not pit these goals against each other. Let's hold them together and tackle them as European citizens. Thank you. We have reached the end of our discussion. So we looked at the past, reflected on the present, and now it's time to imagine the future. So if I asked you to picture Europe in 2035, what would it look like? What should we invest in today? And what message would you leave for farmers and citizens who want to become active players in this transformation? That's a beautiful question, and you know, 2035 is actually just around the corner. Fortunately, European policies aren't built only on short-term urgency or emergency. They are built through planning. That's why European programs run in 7-year cycles, because the great challenges require long-term vision. We can't face them 1 year at a time. We have already set goals for 2035, actually. If I had to sum them up in a single concept, I'd say social ecology, social justice, equity, because the truth is inequality is growing, and Europe was meant to reduce inequalities, not allow them to widen. So for me, the next 10 years are about working to avoid a world where a few have too much and too many have too little. Because that imbalance affects almost every aspect of our lives. And when I think about farmers, especially women who are still underrepresented, I see another important objective. There needs to be real social equality in the common agricultural policy. Right now, most CAP funds go to large farms, over 10 hectares, and to men, and especially men over the age of 55. And so we have to change that. We need to support women, young people, and especially young women entering agriculture. If we don't, we can't talk seriously about the future of agriculture. And finally, to everyone listening, let's try to live, to coexist, to feel like European citizens. There's a difference between being a citizen and feeling like one. We must truly commit in believing in Europe, not just seeing it as a bureaucracy or a set of seat of power, but as something that can genuinely improve our daily lives.
Del potere e della burocrazia, ma vederla davvero come qualcosa in cui crediamo.
This is difficult, I know, because today I have the responsibility of serving in the European Parliament. But by 2035, I truly hope we'll have reached a place where more and more people believe in Europe, where more people feel like European citizens. It could be enough to simply change one number, the turnout rate, right? In the 2024 European elections, fewer than one in two citizens voted. Years ago, the turnaround was above 80%. I'd love to return to those numbers, because that's where it starts. That's where citizenship begins.
Di cittadini che andavano a votare alle elezioni europee sopra dell'80%. Ecco, io vorrei tornare a quei numeri e far sì che anche da lì passi il credersi e l'essere cittadini europei.
Thank you so much, Mrs. Lauretti, for joining us today and sharing your vision of Europe. I think you will agree with me when I say that the European Union is a unique experiment in human history, full of challenges, yes, but also full of hope. And every day we must remain aware as citizens and Europeans that all of this must be defended and built together. Thank you again and have a wonderful day. Thank you. Have a good day. And thank you for listening to this episode of EU for Youth to Act on Air. A special thanks to Deputy Camilla Lauretti for her time and insights. Keep following the project and make your voice heard. Europe is built day by day with the ideas and participation of its young people. 1, 2. Thank you for listening to this episode of EU for Youth to Act on Air. We hope this discussion with MEP Camilla Lauretti helped you better understand how the Common Agricultural Policy shapes the future of food, farming, and rural youth in Europe. To stay updated on upcoming episodes and behind-the-scenes content, follow us on Instagram at EU for Youth to Act.